Okay, intentionality. This is an amazing day. Amen. The greatest day in history. Amen. Would you agree?
Yes.
It is the greatest day in history. Colossians chapter 2, have you got your Bibles or your phone apps, whatever you use to draw from the Word? Colossians chapter 2. You know, every time I begin to put my message together early, by the time I get to the end of the week, the Lord's saying, I've seen your notes and we're not turning up. You better change something, lad, if you want us to turn up. No, he doesn't say it like that, but God has a great way of speaking and directing us. Amen. Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. And you being dead in your trespass and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made you alive. That's a good place to shout amen. He's made you alive together with him. So if you're walking dead, the Bible tells us you've been made alive with him together. Having him forgiven all your trespasses. I'm reading from the New King James Version here. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us. We were once sentenced. Do you know that? Which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them. Them. There's a them company, and there is an us company. There's two types of companies mentioned in this scripture. There's them, and there's us. The us company, together with him, have been included.
Amen.
Amen. But them, he's been triumphed. That's powers and principalities and rulers and dark forces. To them, he overcame.
Amen.
To us, it's been wiped away.
Amen.
And we've been included with him. Amen?
Amen.
This is the week that literally changed the world. Thank God for Jesus.
Amen.
Thank God for Jesus. It changed the destiny of the world. It created a bridge, a way back to the Father that previously had never been established, and had never been established had Jesus not come. Amen?
Yeah.
To redeem the sins of the world. And when we say the sins of the world, yours and mine, he gave you the opportunity so that we could become the us company. Amen? Beautiful. He was crucified. But he was also, let's not put the full stop there, because many were crucified. He was crucified and resurrected.
Amen.
If there is no resurrection, then we don't need to be here. The resurrection was the game changer.
Amen.
Amen? It wasn't the last minute. He didn't struggle to. He knew exactly what he came to do. His mission was fulfilled. Father, it is finished.
Amen.
And with a loud cry, he gave up his own soul, knowing that he'll be back. He did an Arnie Schwarzenegger. Don't worry, boys. I'll be back. Yeah? I'm not saying Jesus is Arnie Schwarzenegger. I'm saying he's more powerful than Arnie Schwarzenegger. He triumphed over sin and death. Jesus stated in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. This was a bold proclamation to say that. And no one comes to the Father except through me. Wow. Jesus intentionally left his Father's throne to come to the earth so that the Son of God would become the Son of Man, so that the sons of men could become like the sons, could become true sons of God.
Amen.
So the Son of God became the Son of Man, like you and I. And he came as a son of man so that the sons of men could become the true sons of God. What a journey. That is a mission. That is a mission. Now we are known as the sons of God. Ladies, that includes you. If we're the bride of Christ, you're the sons of God.
Amen.
Amen. God has no political correctness when it comes to truth. He just says it as it is. I created them, male and female. But there's one, it's man. out of man, man is a species, out of man there's a male and a female. Yeah?
Yeah,
with me there, you're not throwing me under the bush yet, have you? So when he proclaimed himself to be the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus' life pointed to the truth. His life kept pointing to the Father. Him and the Father are one. That was controversial. And it still is. Ask the Muslims. Ask all the other faiths. Me and my Father are one. How dare you, can you associate yourself as being the Son of God and the truth? Wow. His life pointed to the truth of being the Father's Son, His only Son. His death pointed to the only way possible for the sins of the world to be redeemed. And His resurrection pointed to the only sacrifice that could be made and be accepted. That was His life. His life pointed to the resurrection. Anyone who comes through this way gets the life. That's the end result. And the truth, and the way, and the life. It was fully, 100% intentional. Do you know we know that? Because the Bible tells us, before the foundations of the world, He was slain.
Amen. Amen.
So, He always knew this would have to be the move that would have to be made. So He was fully intentional. God, the Father, the Son, in the eternal realm, devised this plan to redeem the mankind. One of us has got to become like one of them, so all of them can become like us.
Amen.
What an amazing plan that was, and still is. It still is. I was looking at some video footage the other day. I said video footage. I was looking at a program. It was. I don't know when it was made. It might have been made last year. And in Africa alone, in one crusade, 1 million people came to the Lord. In one crusade. And to date, they've recorded 100 million decisions in Africa. Wow. 100 million. That's just in that time frame, in that ministry. How many others have been saved? Not just in Africa, but indeed around the world. Heaven's going to be one big party. You better learn to move. Get your best frock on. Get your best dancing shoes on. Because God's going to praise the Lord, oh my soul. How long are we doing this for? Keep going. Praise the Lord. There's going to be one big conga, isn't there? So now, understanding what has been achieved, let's come back to this word, intentionality. Because Jesus did all that so that you, or Him in you, could continue. Continuance was always the mission in heaven. So all of heaven has now been deposited in a seed form into your life. And I call that the CSP, the Calvary Software Package. When Jesus died and you accept Him as a born-again believer, you receive the fullness of heaven in a seed, in one seed. And God puts that seed inside of you, and He says, now, make it grow. Make it grow, and do it intentionally. Make sure you cultivate the right environment. Make sure you add the right things to it. But this seed has to grow in you. This seed must grow and it must bear fruit. I didn't put it in you to lie dormant. Because if you're going to accept and receive the resurrected life, then you need to understand what's in that seed. That seed is life. A seed that has no life doesn't grow, does it not? So God was fully intentional about this seed. Do you know this? Everybody talks about, oh, there's potential in you. There's potential in you. Forget potential. It's overrated. Most people don't give their potential any oxygen. But there's a seed in you. There's a seed in you. It's more than a potential. It's a destiny. It's a future. It's a life. It speaks of other people's work. It speaks of their voice. Potential is all about you. But seed is about him. Seed is about generations. Seed is about legacy. Seed is about much more than you. Seed is about continuance. Potential may never, ever be seen or felt. But the seed must be. We sang in that song, what was the word, Paul? I know my God's alive, I can't keep it quiet. How does it go? Can you remember the words?
I won't be quiet. My God is alive, how can I keep it inside?
Right. I won't be quiet. It's deep inside. Whatever the word is. How can I keep it quiet? Alive. See, I forgot. It's Chinese whispers, this. Chinese whispers. I know that bit. I know that bit. Don't need words for that. Oh, my soul. We don't need words where we're going. We just need music. It's true. So, if we are going to have this seed, and we're going to be intentional about this seed, the Bible tells us to do many things. Let me bring the first one to your attention. We've read it around this table. Growth is intentional. Change is inevitable. Growth is something intentional. We have to intentionally develop this seed. But here we go. The phrase. Let me read this. Hang on, let me come back there. I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 11. He tells us to be deliberate and intentional. And he says this. Here's the phrase. Do this in remembrance of me. Now, we took the communion this morning, and Jesus was very intentional about us doing this. And he was also very intentional about the way we do it. He said, this is not open for negotiation. In fact, those who were taking it wrongly were dying as a result. So we need to take communion very, very serious. Why? Because there are consequences for those who don't take it appropriately. Right? This is one of those things. And we read it in 1 Corinthians 11, 24. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for who? You. Right? Do this in remembrance of me. So let's just say that. This is my body, which is for you. But you do it in remembrance of me. It's an instruction. We must do this and be intentional about it. We don't just take bread and drink wine and just think that was just something we did. It was ritualistic. It was symbolism. No, this is life. We do this in remembrance of him who's in us. And that spirit that is within you witnesses and testifies that what you're doing is actually the very thing he told you to do. Amen. So you get the approval of heaven. Yeah? This is the sons of men focusing on the sons of God. This is the Son of God action. This is what the sons of men do, or should the sons of God do. They take this in remembrance of the one who gave their life. He gave his life, I should say, for us. So let's read on. And in the same way, after supper, he broke the cup, saying, the cup is the new covenant in my blood. So his covenant, he's offered us. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this is the new covenant in my blood. Whenever you drink it, what? Do it in remembrance of me. In other words, everything must have focus. And the focus must be going somewhere. Not just somewhere, not just anywhere, on someone. And then he says this, for whenever you eat this bread, whenever, not just on a Sunday, but whenever. What did he say? Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So there's something in you, that homing beacon, which is the seed, says, I'm still alive. And what's more so, you're still alive in me. Every time you take it, you're saying, I'm still alive and it's still alive in me. I'm letting you know, Father, your Son is praising you for what you've done. Praise, oh, that song, Just use it. Just let your spirit come alive and just remind God that this is a son of God or a son, a daughter of God, still alive, full of that seed. That seed's still alive. Be intentional about it. Do this in remembrance of me. He says, whenever you do it. He didn't say you can only do it on a Sunday. Whenever you, if you're in your life groups, whenever you do it in remembrance of me. Do it. It's an action. It's a discipline. It's a life expression. Amen. The next thing he says, the next instruction is in Philippians 2:12. And he says this, intentionally and continually work out and walk out your salvation. You see, the two are connected. If you don't walk out and work out your salvation, why would you want to take communion? This is part of your walk. This is part of your working it out. I'm working it out when I remember him. And I put thought on what he's done. This is me beginning to work out and put the pieces together, seeing the bigger picture. Yeah? I don't just take it. I think about what I'm doing. And as I think about what I'm doing, I begin to spiritually, intellectually, psychologically, emotionally, I begin to invest in working it out. And then what is the result of that? I praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. I can't believe I've had a revelation this morning what that cross meant and what his blood meant for me. And that only has one result, humility and praise and worship all come out of a humble spirit. My God, when I think about your words, I'm humbled that you would do for this. The Son of Man, why are you so mindful of him? The angels are trying to work it out. That these guys that you died to redeem, there's something about this creation that's not in us. And the angels know that and say, what is it about them that you love them so much? That's the dialogue in the angels, in the angelic realm. So he said, this, therefore, my dear friends, as you've always obeyed, not in my presence, but how much more in my absence. Now, here's the thing. Absence, leave the kids alone and see what they get up to. Every parent knows if they walk out the room when, what's the old phrase? When the cat's away, the mice will play. And God's saying, though I'm with you, I'm also absent from you. I'm everywhere, but you know I'm with you because I'm in you. Right, but you know physically I'm not there, but spiritually I'm all there. My spirit's within you. I've given it as a deposit. So I'm in you. But you don't see him, but you know he's there. You sense his presence. So he's saying, look, when you don't see me or you don't think I'm watching or listening, how will you respond? How will you walk out? How will you begin to work out? Do you need a preacher? Do you need a church environment to work things out? Then the answer to that is yes, but not just that. You've got to walk it out and work it out on your own. Why? Because it's your salvation. We didn't do it. We didn't send a form in on behalf of everyone. Right? There is no form for the Dream Center that says everyone who walks into the door is saved. You're all going together. Be here at a certain day, we're all going. No, every one of us had to have a revelation. Every one of us has to work something out. Every one of us has to walk something out. Are you sure about that? Yes, because this is the instruction. He says, work it out. Now watch this. How much my absence? Continue to work your salvation out. In what? In fear and trembling. In other words, be sober-minded about this. Be sober-minded about this. For it is God who works in you. Right now, that seed, God is working on that seed in you. Yes. God's at work in that seed. Why? Because God works from the inside. So the Spirit gave us the seed as a deposit, guaranteeing a better future. Guaranteeing. But that seed in you needs to be developed in you so that you will produce fruit that shows him that you took your walk serious. You was intentional about it. Growth is intentional. Your spiritual growth is not something that happens just because you come here on a Sunday. Your spiritual growth is determined by your attitude and by your actions.
Amen.
Attitude and by your actions. What are your actions doing that shows us that you're intentional? Or shows him, I should say. So to work out your salvation, here's a word here that I want to bring to your attention this morning. And it says, therefore, my dear friends, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but almost in your absence, continue to work at your salvation with. I want you to underline that word with. That with is such an important word for you and I to grasp this morning. And I want to intentionally bring it to your attention so you can give attention to it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Such a small word that means an awful lot if you're reading it with forensic eyes. As I read that, it leapt out at me and caused me to investigate it. Yeah? Such a word we use every day. With. Are you having something to eat? Yes, I'm having potatoes. With. I'm having fufu. With. I'm having Nando's. With. Yeah? Such a word. Now let's have a look. This phrase means... with means something accompanied alongside other qualities. Right? So in other words, work out your salvation with. In other words, your faith needs to be accompanied with other qualities. You see that?
Yeah.
Other qualities. Where's it gone? Where's it gone, Ralph? Come back. All right, I'll read on. Hey. There we go. If we were to add additional things to our salvation, then let it be additional upgrades of truth, knowledge, and deepened understanding that accompanies faith. Faith is not standalone, right? We said we walk by faith. We do walk by faith, but faith needs additional resources. What does my faith need? Well, it needs, I'm going to show you in the next slide in a minute, but we need revelatory truth. We need to be upgraded in truth. There is present truth and there is old truth. What you once knew about Jesus was good, but there's also new things being revealed. And he wants to upgrade us in present truth. That's why we need revelation and that's why we need prophetic ministry.
Amen.
To show us not only what God's done, what God's doing, but what God is going to continue to do, should we keep trusting him. So there's a past and there's a present, there's a future that needs to be, that's involved in your faith. Your faith is not just close my eyes and I'm going to go to heaven one day. That's called wishful thinking. If you're going to work out your faith, if you're going to work it out and walk it out, you need to consciously know what needs to be added. You make a cake, you make bread, whatever you're making, you know it has additional ingredients. Some people like their tea just black. I like mine with milk. Others like it with milk and sugar. Others like it with milk, sugar, or even some honey. Everybody likes something with added flavors. Some people just strip it down. But you always, even with a cup of tea, you need a cup. Even with a cup of tea, you need a tea bag. Even with a cup of tea, you need a spoon. Some people leave the tea bag in, the dirty rats. Others just dip it in and pull it out. That's the sanctified way. But with, yes, let's go to the next slide. The phrase with also suggests the need for individual maturity. Christ needs maturity. You need maturity. Personal Christian character. I could just stop right there and drop the mic. Let's talk about the need to build character. There's a generation who has not got resilience, who has not got fortitude, who has not got discipline, blah, 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 blah. I didn't say what age that generation is. I said there's a generation out there. In other words, it's right across. We need character. We need holiness and to accompany the believer's walk in faith and witness in Christ. It's only as these things emerge is credibility fully acknowledged in the sight of Almighty God and his church. God just doesn't want people to turn up to church. He's looking for people who's got character and maturity.
Amen.
The seed has got to mature. You can't be a babe in Christ for the rest of your life. Even if we look in the natural life, no child born stays a baby. But you know what we do have? We have a lot of men who grow up who are still boys. It's gone quiet in this Catholic church now, hasn't it, eh? Why is that? Because character has not been formed. Maturity's not been formed. Discipline's not been formed. So though we've got physical bodies that have the shape of a man, there's still a child inside. I want my way, my way, my way. Still crying for the mummies. Grow up. So this word with, it gets passed over so easy. But yet it's so important that you need additional qualities, ingredients added to your faith. And you and I must become intentional about this. How do we develop character? How do we develop maturity? How do we develop discipline? These are important questions that we need some kind of roadmap so that we can begin intentionally to consciously look for the answers and look for opportunities to develop it. True? Amen. I tell you now, if you develop, you can. Everyone has a personality. Everyone has a personality. But not every personality has character. Character is something that's formed and shaped and built through time, through setbacks, Amen. Through discipline, through hard times, through good times. And God the Father and Jesus the Son and the Holy Ghost together say, I need to see character in my people. Character, not just personality. The church is quick to demonstrate it as personality. But you read those churches in Revelation, character was the one thing that God was looking for. And he adjusted them in the area of their character. He highlighted what they were good at, but what they were bad at. And he said, I'm giving you a chance to change. Ephesus, the church that Paul labored so much, it was an apostolic work. By the time we get to Revelation, Jesus is looking at it and saying, there's some flaws in this church. It was losing its character. Oh, it had personality. Big deal. But have you got character and maturity? So let's go to 2 Peter 1. Let's look at what needs to be added. I've highlighted character and personality and maturity. Let me define it even a level below. I'm going to show you exactly what needs to be added to your faith. Are you ready? I said, are you ready?
Yes.
Good. 2 Peter 1, 5. For this very reason, he says, make every effort. In other words, be intentional, he said, to add to your faith. So your faith needs to be added. So there's that word with, right? What we're going to add? I'm glad you asked. We're going to add goodness, which is another word for virtue. Goodness. And then we're going to add knowledge. And then we're going to add self-control. Stop there, pause. That's where character comes in. And maturity and personal discipline. Can you control your desires and your habits and your thinking? Can you bring in self-control into your life? Well, I saw that in the shop and I couldn't control myself. I just bought it. Impulse buying on the internet. Walking past the cake shop, smelling it. Just had to get my lips around that piece of cake. Looking at something, a guy's on his own, no one's looking, and he sees something that appeals to his sexuality. Can he wind himself in and say no? Can you walk past Greg's? No Greg's in heaven. Can you walk past Greg's? Can you walk past Costa Coffee? Whatever your things is. Self-control. And then he says, watch this. Let's go on further. And perseverance, character. Perseverance. Yeah? And to perseverance, godliness. So we've got goodness and we've also got godliness. and to brotherly kindness, love. Now watch this. So here's the list here. Goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness. And then he says this. Notice that thing at the end. That, and they will, for if you possess these qualities, watch this. If you possess these qualities, if, it's a question, will you develop and add to your faith? If you develop these qualities, guess what he says? He says that in increasing measure, see that word there, increasing measure. Underline that in your Bible. If you add these qualities in increasing measure, that's a challenge. Not just add these things, but in increasing measure. So there should be more. Every time we take a reading of what's inside you, John, every time you stand before the presence of the Holy Spirit and God the Father, he should be able to measure you to see what's been increased or what's decreased. Yeah? Every time we go in, that's why the presence of God is such a powerful thing. Because he just scans us and says, empty in this area, full in this area. And he highlights to us, focus on this, draw on that, lift up in this area, decrease in that area. So it has to be done in increasing measure. This is the working out and walking out in increasing measure. So the question you have to ask yourself, what area have I been increasing in? Is it in goodness? Is it in knowledge? Is it self-control? Can you walk past Greg's now? Is it easy for you? Perseverance? Have you got godliness? Brotherly kindness? Love? See, this is true Christianity. This is not church on Sunday. But these qualities will be seen on a Sunday, just as they'll be seen in your workplace on a Monday. You can't be praise the Lord on a Sunday and then say on a Monday, you're the one who's cursing in the workplace. Or you're the one slagging somebody else off. You're the one holding gossip corner. Because there's nothing in that that's reflecting on a Monday morning. Oh, you can come to church with your suit and tie and all look, you know, all evangelistic, all Pentecostal, whatever, your personality, I've got my charismatic tie on today. But guess what? Monday morning, you haven't. Monday morning, they just see you. You can come here on a Sunday, keep your mouth shut, not say anything, and look good. But not on a Monday morning. You have to stand out. Stand up and stand out. And perform. Do your work, by the way. So he says, if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, let's look at the ramifications, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If there's one thing, or there's two things that we can quite clearly see across the church globally, is ineffectiveness is affecting productivity. The church has a mission, but she's ineffective and unproductive in that area. Why? Because she's not adding these qualities. Oh, we're adding a lot of things to the church, but we're not adding the right qualities. We had lights. We had smoke machines. We had singers. We had stewards. We had seats. We had car parks. We had donuts and coffee. Oh, we're very good at adding to the church, but we don't know how to add the ingredients inside the people that cause the people to grow. Is it possible for a church to grow and its people not? Of course it is. Because if we become the Dream Center / MacDonald Church, give everybody a Happy Meal as they walk in, you will increase the size of your congregation, but the dimensions of God inside the people don't get any deeper or any wider. We've got to be careful what we're adding to the church. It's very, very clear. And we've got to keep doing it and finding the ways to do it in increasing measure. Can you see this? In increasing measure. Now, I intend to speak a lot more about this, but not today. because that's not my mission today. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. Let's just see. So we've not only seen now add with and add to your faith. We've seen two scriptures. Let's go to a third scripture that backs this very thing up. It's in 2 Corinthians 8:7. Now, Paul is acknowledging that there's qualities in these Corinthians people. So then he says, he adds this to it. And he says in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 7, but just as you excel in everything. But just as you excel in everything, he says, in faith, in speech, in knowledge. See, he's adding things now. In complete earnestness, he's just named some qualities that need to be added to our faith. And he's saying, I expect them to be in you. So even as you excel in these things, see to it that you also, and he adds another one to the list, see that you excel in the grace of giving. Wow. So not only have I got seven areas here that I need to work on, he also says he adds more by faith, speech. Now, some of those are duplicated in previous scriptures. But faith, speech, and knowledge, complete earnest, which is integrity, honesty. And in love and giving, add those things to your life. Now, I've got to work these things out. At what point in my life do they need to be built? What are the circumstances? What are the trials? What are the situations going on in my life that's going to cause me to understand, God, you're trying to develop me in the area of love today, or you're trying to help me persevere, or you're showing me that someone in the church is a pain in the backside and my attitude should be to show brotherly kindness. Yeah? And God's saying, in increasing measure, Tony, in increasing measure. In other words, don't just learn to like somebody. I want you to learn to love them. Ugh. Oy, oy, that's like caramel, Lord. That's like chewing popcorn with no caramel on it. Oy, oy, oy. Spit it out your mouth. That's my version of lukewarm. Popcorn without any caramel on it. But here we go. Can I love somebody with kindness? Well, I tell you what we're going to do. Someone's going to flare up. Someone's going to be a bit of a dipstick. Show a bit of an attitude towards you. And then you're going to say, oh, God, I could kill them. You take them home and you carve them up for Sunday dinner. Right? And how many times have you had me or Paul or Phil or for your dinner? Of course you have. I don't like the way he said what he said this morning. That's a tough piece of meat in your mouth. Of course, we've all done it. But not all repented of it. The point is when you're moaning and whinging and complaining about, I don't like him at work and I don't like the way the boss is doing this, and God says, love, 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 persevere. Yeah, get behind me, Satan. I don't hear that voice. Self-control. Knowledge. Why is knowledge so bad? So bad is not bad. Why is knowledge so important? Because if you read in the Psalms, it says, my people die because of lack of knowledge. Ignorance is not favored in the kingdom. So we have to intentionally keep adding. If I could, I know that's a big list. I didn't write the book. So let me add you one more that I feel is going to be the foundation that's going to allow all the others to sit on. Are you ready for this? The one, to me right now, that stands out, they're all super important, as the Americans say, super, super, everything, super. It's important. The one thing you and I need, if we're going to work out and walk out, yes, do we need faith? Yes, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. We know that, right? But here's one for you that I really feel, for us, that I want to see established in this house as a core foundation. Are you ready for it? Of course you are. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, verse 15. That's the Old Testament. It's the last book just before Matthew. And then there was a silent period. And it says this. in Malachi 3:15. We're nearly out of here. Don't worry. We're coming to the end. Malachi 3:15. But now, we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly the evildoers prosper. And even those who challenge God escape. And he's reminiscing, he's seen the picture. But then he says this. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other. Watch this. Watch this synergizing. They talked together with each other. And the Lord listened. And he heard. And a scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and who honored his name. This is so heaven is watching. They will be mine, says the Lord Almighty. In that day when I make up my treasured possession, I will spare them. Just as in compassion, a man spares his son who serves him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who don't. This is a distinction. This is a separating factor. Can you imagine if we all got together and talked about the fear of God? And God began to write a scroll and recorded the dream center and all its occupants. They fear me. They are mine. Amen. They are my treasured possession. This is such a powerful scripture for us to grasp and work out. Our response to this should be, Lord, add this to my life. Add this to not only my life, but to the life of the church, to all my brothers and sisters, and pray to God for the love of God and the fear of God to be present in his people. Amen. Why? Because the fear of God is what governs and regulates our behavior and our attitude. And I'm telling you, Dream Center, the fear of God must enter the house of God, because there are boundaries we cannot go beyond. We must not just keep adding things. The fear of God is what makes us stop and think about what we add and how we add it. Amen. And without this fear, you'll never go before the throne room and say, Lord, am I in a church that adds the right things? I don't want my spirit being given the wrong food. I need to add the right things. I need to check. That fear tells me, is this the right crowd for me to have fellowship with? Are these the right group of people to have some fun with? Why? Because all kinds of influences come from all kinds of people. But with the fear of God, you don't just walk casually or recklessly. You walk circumspectly. Amen. Your eyes are up. You walk carefully. Is this okay, Lord? Yeah. Is this okay, Lord? Yes. Is this okay, Lord? Yes. And your steps get slower. But you're not so far behind. In taking a cautious step, you accelerate. Because the steps of the righteous are ordered. Amen. You can't just walk the way you want. You can't, what did I say last week? You can't live wrong and pray right. The two clash. So I'm going to ask us to stand to our feet, if we will. I know time's gone. I'm cut short in my message, but I respect your time. I trust by what's been said this morning, or how I'm leaving this message, you understand the importance of that word with. Yeah. And you understand the significance of adding everything in increasing measure to your faith. This is what gives me as a pastor the work. These things to make sure I add the right things to you. Your work, your role in is to take what's given and work it out. Amen. Yeah. And not just work, how do you work it out? By how you walk it out. But I want us now just to take, we have magnified the name of the Lord this morning beautifully. Have we not?
Yeah.
But now, what better way to approach the throne of God and say, Lord, give us the fear of God. The fear of God is what will give me accuracy. It will give me conscience. And it will give me a sense of holiness and righteousness. In the decisions I make, I want to do the right things for the right reason. So I want you just, if you will, with it, if you open up your heart and just say, Father, only you can give me the fear of God. I'm asking you, Lord, increase it in my life so I'm aware. Make me aware of what you want me to be aware of. Holy Spirit, dial it up. Dial it up. As I keep reading, as I keep listening, as I keep observing, as I keep reading the scriptures, Lord, tune my heart in such a way, Lord, that I respond the way you want me to respond. I want to be your servant. I want to be a vessel worthy to carry the Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom in. Father, I recognize that this group of people became a distinct company. I ask you, Father, right now that you make the Dream Center a distinct company. A company that you can add things to, and they understand the power of with. And Lord, I pray for everyone that they will excel in increasing measure as they take these things to heart. Father, guard your word given to them today. We thank you for the week that changed the world. Father, we're evidence of what you did. Let your word and your work in us stand strong now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a round of applause. Lord bless you all. Have a great rest of the weekend.